You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
With the announcement last week that Judith Collins will lead the National Party as leader of the opposition into the upcoming election, I have been looking into gender politics and what effect having two women in the roles of Prime Minister and opposition leader has on their representation in the media and their understanding by the public, and also the representation in Parliament. Last week, I spoke to Dr. Claire Timperley from the Victoria University of Wellington about this issue, and we discussed the use of gendered labelling by the media and the public, as well as the theory around representation in government and the importance of women in representation. This week, I spoke to political commentator Jennifer Curtin about Judith Collins's new position. We discussed the ideas around media framing of two women going head-to-head in a leadership race with the election coming up later this year. I began by asking Jennifer what she thought of the announcement of Collins as leader of the National Party.
So I'm not surprised that the leadership went to Judith Collins. She's an ambitious woman. She's highly pragmatic, and she's the commensurate politician who's really wanted the leadership for some time. And you know, she's been working to redeem herself, if you like, or to demonstrate both her competence but also her reflections through her recent book, so that she's not carrying the baggage of 2014 with the dirty politics scandal and the other sorts of issues that she's been attributed to. So I suppose the first thing I would say is it's not surprising that it's Judith Collins now, given, you know, she wasn't destined to get it. But because of Muller's sudden resignation, it's now the mission of the National Party to stem the flow of votes away from National to secure the position. So it's sort of a politically pragmatic move on behalf of the party, but also Collins seeing a window of opportunity to win the leadership when she might not otherwise have had that opportunity, because she wasn't always considered well-liked by the caucus, even though she's well-liked by the base. So I suppose I just want to offer the context that even though we've ended up with two women going up against each other as the leaders of the two major political parties, it's not just about gender, it's about her political ambition.
Jennifer then shared her thoughts on how politics is more welcoming to a two-women leadership race with a popular woman prime minister than if a man was to go up against Jacinda Ardern. She then goes on to discuss how the media frames women politicians and how this might work going forward with Collins and Ardern.
But I think it will be fascinating, because the argument that some in the media have put is that male leaders would find it difficult to go up against Ardern. The media is implying that politics is always negative, campaigning is negative, and male leaders going hard up with negative comments on a leader like Ardern, who's very popular, could backfire. Because their gen might be read as gendered in some way. And, well, I think Collins, the argument the media's put is that Collins will neutralise that gender factor, and so as a result will be able to go hard after Ardern, and potentially that means perhaps go with more personal attacks. So we've already seen a little bit of that, suggesting that Collins has said, well, I'm all about competence, you know, and it's about competence versus hugs. What do you want from a leader? So we're already seeing sort of a refrain of what we saw in 2017 when the media talked about Ardern as being stardust, not substance. So I think that sometimes it's maybe, you know, that there's a sense that the media thinks it's easier that when if a woman says it against another woman, it's more palatable.
It's the idea that comes from sort of a long history of that. It's frowned upon for perhaps like a man to attack a woman, whether that's, you know, verbally in politics, then potentially having two women, you know, be able to go head to head and say whatever they like.
So I don't think it's always been like that.
Yeah.
I actually think that in the, like, in Australian politics in the 80s, and, well, in the early 90s, when we saw two women premiers, you know, there was still a lot of discussion in the early 90s about what women wore. Male politicians didn't feel the need to be circumspect anymore. You know, I think this is a much more recent phenomenon, and we even saw it with Julia Gillard. So the politicians in Australia, male politicians, went after Julia Gillard, personally attacked her on the fact that she hadn't had children, that they called her deliberately barren. Tony Abbott stood under a sign that called her a bitch. You know, that he wasn't holding the sign, but he was the prime, you know, the leader of the opposition, and was so this idea that male politicians no longer feel able to personally attack female politicians, I don't think we can assume that's a norm yet.
I suppose,
but perhaps it is much more frowned upon now than what it may have been in the early 90s.
You also look at the way people spoke about Helen Clark was never particularly kind and was was very sort of personally attacking her, which is interesting, yeah, which I suppose is a similar vein.
You know, and it's not like women leaders are pure in this sense. So
no.
What we also know is that when Jenny Shipley was campaigning against Helen Clark, Jenny Shipley tried to invoke the fact that she was a mother, would somehow made her a better prime minister because of the skills that came with that than Helen Clark would be. So she kind of called out Helen Clark's childlessness as somehow being a political liability. And I'm not sure that, and I wouldn't be able to say for sure whether that was frowned upon at the time. But yeah, certainly Helen Clark really received her fair share of derogatory media commentary based on her gender, and books written. Some really terrible stuff. But I suppose, I think social media and more enlightened journalists have moved away from tolerating some of that commentary now.
I just sort of wanted to talk, because I know people often bring up, well, you know, men potentially are still subject to the same sort of ridicule, you know, I don't know, Muldoon having the nickname Piggy Muldoon, and that you potentially wouldn't name a woman that, or Simon Bridges or even Todd Muller now sort of being considered to be a little bit, you know, sort of not doing the right thing and sort of getting torn down online, particularly and through the media. Do you think it has the same similarity to the way the media treats women?
I think there are two things going on there. So I think there's the name calling, you know, or the, you know, the metaphors like Piggy, you know, Piggy Muldoon and those sorts of things. So the sort of headlines and the name calling might apply to male leaders as much as female leaders. I think that it's really not just about the headlines and the name calling. It's also about how the stories are framed, and the qualities that are associated with male leaders and female leaders, and how that gets described, if you like, and whether that's done in ways that invoke gender stereotypes. So I suppose, you know, notions of competence and rationality, and when you read metaphors that are sporting or relating to war or that sort of thing, they're often more likely to be associated with strong male leaders. People don't conjure up images of strong female leaders. And I think the way Ardern has done her leadership has confounded, if you like, some of those traditional stereotypes, because even though you might place her compassion, her language of kindness and care and that sort of thing on the sort of feminine gender stereotype side, the fact that she's also, you know, led with a resolve and a determination and has demonstrated competence in at least her management of COVID and the Christchurch massacre. So in a way, she's confounded that traditional way of writing up or representation of gender with regard to political leadership, if you know what I mean. So even though they called Piggy Muldoon Piggy Muldoon, the stories about him would have been framed in terms of his authority, as able to, you know, even when he was draconian, that he sort of wielded power. And so that sort of language, when he gets written about, is still signals to the electorate that he's a strong leader, and if people are looking for a strong leader, they would have got that messaging, say, compared to Bill Rowling at the time. But I think the thing is when it comes to women, the media on average, you know, generally, have traditionally framed women's leadership styles using language that doesn't evoke the same kind of strength or power.
Jennifer wanted to provide context to this discussion on media framing of women in politics and the use of gendering by media outlets. She sent me some information from an article published in 2010 called Either Way, There's Going to Be a Man in Charge, Media Representations of New Zealand Prime Minister Helen Clark by Linda Trimble and Natasha Triberg. The article talks a little bit about how Helen Clark was framed throughout her time in in New Zealand politics. Jennifer sent me some snippets from the article that say the gendered frames and stereotypes that tend to feminise, domesticate or trivialise women politicians, emphasis on their age, newness, sex, femininity, appearance, family life and emotions were not typically applied to Helen Clark. To the contrary, with the exception of descriptions of her appearance, she was cast as unusually and even suspiciously unfeminine. Being the first, in quotations, women leader is also often a theme in international literature on this topic. Even though Shipley was the first woman prime minister in the 1999 election, was certain to produce New Zealand's first elected female prime minister. And the sex of the women's leaders was reported in approximately a fifth of the news stories. News articles highlighted the fact that there were two strong women in the running to be the, quote, first women elected prime minister. Helen Clark's childlessness was a constant reference point for the media throughout her political career. During the election, Prime Minister Jenny Shipley played the mum card as a matter of credibility and experience. Quoting, I'm a politician but also a mum, Shipley told reporters, clearly in an attempt to contrast her motherly persona with Clark's childlessness and allegedly cold and formidable leadership style. Clark was as or even more likely than her male opponents across all the elections she contested to be described with masculine stereotypes. Stereotypically masculine qualities like strength and assertiveness were seen as hallmarks of Clark's campaign performances, and highly aggressive battle language was used to describe her behaviour, especially during party leaders' debates. Trimble and Triberg note that the only leader portrayed as more masculine than Clark was Jenny Shipley. Even when these two women contested in the election, the New Zealand's news media was intent on staying with masculine script. Jennifer's thoughts on this are that in the case of Ardern the first time round, the age, newness, gender, appearance and family life, whether she would have children, was talked about a lot. But this time round, I suspect it will be age and competence, since Collins is a mother and experienced as a former minister, and also has said personal lives are off the tables in terms of campaigning. But we might be likely to see masculine stereotypes used in this election campaign, given Collins is already being talked about as strong. She has been photographed with a drill, and she is using fighting language like, quote, taking it to Labour and, quote, crushing the government. Given Ardern's leadership and communication styles, it seems unlikely that it will replicate 1999. Plus, when Ardern does use assertive strong language, for the example, as she did against Scott Morrison over the deportations from Australia, some in the media accused her of being too aggressive. Interestingly, Jennifer says some in the media are already calling Judith Collins the Warrior Queen, so there will be more comparisons to watch over the course of the campaign. I finally asked Jennifer what she thought of the notion that if we even talk about politics, does that talk about women in politics, does that just further gender politics in itself? And here's what she has to say. Talking more about sort of, obviously there's been a lot of media coverage about, you know, head to head, Jacinda Ardern, Judith Collins, and even the fact we're talking about it. What are your thoughts on the notion that even by discussing the fact that we have two women in the Prime Minister and opposition leader positions, we are further gendering politics because we wouldn't discuss two men in the same position like this?
It kind of depends how the discussion proceeds. Like, there is definitely still a novelty factor associated with having women political leaders. So if we think globally, right now, there's only 12 women heads of state who are actually sort of in charge of their government. You know, so we're thinking prime ministers or presidents that actually have more than titular roles. So if you think about how many countries there are in the world, that's still not a very high percentage. In New Zealand, you know, it's a little bit more common than what we've seen in other countries. So there is a degree of normalisation, I suppose. But seeing two women go up against each other does, I don't want to use the word titillate, but it is something, there's something kind of still a little bit exceptional about it that tickles the media's fancy, if you like. So they do want to ask those kinds of questions. And you know, like when Jacinda Ardern and Nikki Kaye used to go up against each other in Auckland Central, there used to be some really awful headlines that were sort of almost sexualising two young women, you know, battling it out for the seat. So I think the novelty factor is still there, but the media has grown up a lot, and so I'm not sure whether it's pandering to old, going to be able to pander to old style stereotypes and you know, gotcha kinds of language, and if the media are responsible in the way that they report this campaign, it might be that the gender factor is neutralised in some way.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.